Thank you so much, Brunel. You know, Encourage Men is a team effort. It wouldn't happen if it wasn't for a team of men, the committee. But, you know, I was thinking about it this morning. How many of you enjoy the coffee and the donuts? Okay. Yeah, okay. Maybe next week, if you think about it, because it's a wrap-up, why don't you thank those ladies downstairs for coming in early? Can you imagine that? These gals come in way before you're on the way here and getting coffee ready. And wow, that's a huge blessing. Let's make sure that we realize that this couldn't happen. Couldn't happen without the generosity of the home congregation here allowing us to use this facility. We are so blessed and so grateful. So it is a team effort, but it couldn't be possible without you. So thank you for making the sacrifice and the effort to come to Encourage Men. So once again, we're wrapping it up, and I don't know about you, but it will feel good to sleep in on some of these Tuesday mornings, but I'm still going to miss it. I really will miss it. I'll miss you. This is something that to me is very important and vital. I am so convinced that the future of our belief systems, the future of our children, our homes, the battle is won in the home. I am convinced of that. The battle's won in the home. It's not at church. Sometimes I think we have relegated the raising of our families, our children, to the church, and that's not where it should be. It should be in the home. The home is where the foundations are laid, and for the most part, it will only be as successful. Any organization will only be as successful as the leaders of that organization. And so here we are called, men, to be the head. We're called to be the leaders. I was thinking also that we're fathers, we're grandfathers, but there's some single men here, single maybe older men, single younger men. I just want you to hear God still calls you to be spiritual fathers. There's people even at a very young age who will look up to you. You might not think they are. I can almost promise you there's somebody looking up to you. God calls us all to be fathers, whether it's a biological father, grandfather, or it's a spiritual father. God calls us to that because that's where the health of the community lies. I am so convinced of that. It's where you lay the foundations for life, for the next generation. And for you single men, whether you're older or younger, you know, take some young men out for breakfast. Meet with other people. Disciple, mentor, seek mentoring. It's there. So this morning we want to talk about protecting our children. And it's a very intentional journey. It doesn't just happen. It's not accidental. I think that's the other thing is we just go into default mode as parents and even as grandparents. I should have put a picture up there. I became a grandpa again this past week. 5 pounds, 1 ounce, tiny little thing. Okay, but wow, that's just another life that has come into this world that requires somebody to nurture and care for. And even though that's not my primary responsibility, I really believe that God calls me to be there and active and consider what the future of that little one will be. So what I would like to talk about here is intentional journey is capture your children's hearts. Capture your children's hearts. Capture your grandchildren's hearts. To me, that's so important. And you know, it starts at birth. It starts at birth. And I know I quite frankly prefer in raising my own family, I really enjoyed my children when they were about 3 to 4. The 1 to 2 and 3, oh well, mom, you can have them. but no, that's not true. You really want to capture their hearts. That's when you need to be holding that tiny little one and holding them next to your heartbeat so they can hear your heartbeat. That's where you start capturing their hearts because that child can capture your heart then. If that child never captures your heart, maybe you will never capture their hearts. You need to have that heart connection with your children, also with your grandchildren. You see, that's when you make that nurturing bond. And that should not quit. I really want you to hear that should not quit. Capturing their hearts should be an ongoing journey. And then as they hit a little bit older, from 3 to 6, what I would say, that's when you give them tools for self-protection. Okay, we're going to talk about that this morning, protecting our children. You want to give them tools for self-protection. That should start 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You want your wife involved with that, and we'll talk some about that. And then as they from like 7 to 10, You want to prepare them for the changes that are coming. Puberty is going to happen. Hormones are going to hit. And if you just let it happen automatically without you preparing them, I'm just telling you, your children are going to hit a time when they're going to struggle with that. They will struggle. Why? You went through it. And it's been so long, you sort of forget what it was like. But do you remember what it was like when those hormones were hitting? You didn't even know they were hitting, but they were hitting. And what happens is all of a sudden, it starts changing the way you think, the way you process information. All of a sudden, you become conscious of what's going on around you. Okay? And then last week, we had Burnell. He had two sessions on talking to your children about sexuality. Okay, the passport to purity. What a crucial, crucial time. I hope you took that really seriously. And even, you know, someday I would love to see some energetic, thoughtful Anabaptist people put together our own resource similar to that. Because there's some things in there that I would be challenged with. But we have the ability. We can put together those resources. I would love to see somebody take that on. I think if I was younger, that would be something I would tackle. I don't think it's going to be something that I look at doing. But you know, some of you, maybe you can get a vision of what it would be like for us to produce that kind of material and pull the material together and prepare it. I'm going to quote here from Steve Arterburn. Steve Arterburn says, and he's an author, counselor. He says, when I was in junior high, I felt like a loser. Do you ever feel like a loser? You know, this week's been heavy, really heavy. And you hear me say that over and over again. I think sometimes you think I make up these stories. I don't. They're so, so real. I got email this past, within the last week, I got email of just people crying out and they don't know what to do with life. Adult people. The one was a gal, and she just oh, it was long, and she just was pouring out her heart. And one place it was blaming, the next place it was owning. And she goes, and here's what it boiled down to. She said, it ends up I was so angry at my father for abusing me. Her dad sexually abused her, and she goes, inside I know there's this little girl, and I take it out on my husband. Hey, what do you think? Okay. Some of you can connect with that. Some of you relate to that. Another one was also just the horrific marriage. It was just falling to pieces. But I listened to the story. And it didn't take long when you could piece together what was happening in the background. It happens back when they were little, when they were at home. Okay, men, we can choose how we train and teach our children. That doesn't mean everything's going to go well with them. It just means that that's where you lay the foundations. You give your children the foundations for making choices, making decisions. And one of those things is they need to feel secure. They need to feel like they know that mom and dad love each other. They need to know that it's safe. Dad's a safe place to run to, and I can go to him and I can tell him anything without him getting angry and upset and chucking stuff back at me and blaming me, okay? That's crucial. You know, we had doctor appointments this past week, yesterday morning, and it was a good experience. It's just that I knew that I needed to finish preparing for this morning, and I waited because it was my turn to teach Sunday. I had a lot on my plate, and I waited till yesterday afternoon. That's going to be my time. Mm-hmm. Guess what? A phone call. Okay. A phone call. And a desperate phone call. A desperate phone call. And so I spent yesterday afternoon with somebody sitting at our table. And I just heard a heart cry. I heard anguish. And I heard a young girl say, I hate myself. I just want to end it all. What do you do with that? It came from an abusive dad. It came from a home that did not know how to make life work. And this is repeated over and over again. Listen, there's many, many good homes. There's many good dads. I don't want you to, I'm not down on everybody. It's just that the problems are huge, and they're there. Dads, granddads, we can make a difference. And then, as Burnell shared last week, you know, talking to your children about sexuality. How many of you want your children to know, learn about sexuality the way you learned about it? I don't think any of us hardly do, because very seldom is it passed from father to son, mother to daughter, father to daughter. No, you know, even this young girl yesterday said her dad talked to her about those things, but it wasn't in a healthy, good way. It was in an ugly way, nasty way. Okay, can't do that. You can't do that. And so he goes on to say, my daily goal was to not humiliate myself or look like the awkward, uncomfortable, pimply young man that I was. Okay. We really deal with self-esteem issues when those hormones are hitting. And your children will too. And maybe you remember a little bit of that. If I could get through a day of not saying something stupid or stumbling or having my voice crack in mid-sentence, then it was a good day. Even on my best days, I still felt like a loser. Okay, this is not too abnormal in those teen years. And you know, I can relate to that. And I've told some of my stories about walking down the hallway with the books in my hands, and 180-pound Jack Ruggles picks me up by the head and walks down the hall. And I went to public school. It was a big school. So anyway, you don't feel like a man. You feel like a little, and I was the littlest guy in school. And my nickname was Baby Reed. Okay, so yeah, but it really makes you feel like a man. Mm-hmm. Bring it on. Yeah, but you see, something happens on that journey from grade school to high school. You know that? When your children are making that switch, you got to be aware of some of these things. Something happens. You know, when children are young, they just play together. It doesn't matter if they're boys and girls. You watch them out in the playground, they're just having fun. They're just playing together. They get together as cousins. They're just having a great time. But sometime around 6, 7, 8, it starts changing. Clicks form. And then there's the ins and the outs. Do you ever, maybe you were an out. Maybe you were an in. I watch it all the time. And the ones who are outs really struggle because they don't fit in. Okay? And it depends where you are. You will feel like that. And what I found that out is even the ones who look like they're in still feel like they're out. Do you ever notice some of that? It impacts us greatly. Do you know what can change that? Dad's connection and dad's valuing and dad's walking together with them, taking the time, speaking, communicating. So what changes as a child gets older and the hormones hit? It's like being in a hot car with no reverse. You're going forward. You're going forward, and that's child to adult. There's this internal time clock. There's an internal time clock that every single person has, and it's called a pituitary gland. And that pituitary gland is the time clock that starts telling the hormones when to start secreting the juice that changes us from a boy to a man, a girl to a woman. And you know, we'll get there eventually. I'm just rattling on and on here before we get to the lesson. But this is so important. That time clock is crucial. It will. And it's different for everybody. You know, I happen to be a late bloomer. And you know, it's really tough for a girl who's a late bloomer when all her friends are getting breasts and she's not. Okay? I went to public school. And in public school, you went to gym class and you took public showers in a big open room. And what if you're not as developed as the rest of the guys? You know, pubic hair shows up on some a lot earlier than others. And when you're a late bloomer, it shows up pretty late. Guess what you feel like? A little boy in a man's group. I'm just telling you, this is real. This is real. And it happens even if you go to an Amish one-room school. It still is happening. It's only happening in different ways. I've listened to some pretty horrendous stories from those one-room schools. Yeah. I'll save you the details. Okay, but you know this internal time clock, it's that the glands start secreting testosterone, and it starts changing the way we think and the way we feel about ourselves and how we see the world and how we see the opposite sex. And with the girls, it's estrogen and progesterone, and it makes their hips get wider, it makes their breasts develop, it prepares them, their menstrual cycle will start, and they have to be prepared for that. Parents should prepare their children for those changes. Yeah, otherwise they're not ready for it. And it powerfully affects the way we think, how we process information about ourselves, how we process information about other people. It causes us to look introspection, and sometimes we don't like what we see unless we have somebody speaking life into us instead of somebody telling us we're a failure and we're not going to make it and you're not. I watched people fail because dad said, yeah, you're never going to make it. Yeah. I watched a man, he went bankrupt twice and got divorced. That's all right to put it up there. He was my brother's best friend. And they ran around together at church. But because his dad continually communicated to him he'd be a failure, he fulfilled the prophecy. You know, we can fulfill prophecy pretty easily. Are you with me a little bit? Okay. This stuff's real. This is life. Okay. Another thing that happens when you hit puberty is you can have either one of two things. Either you have an overinflated opinion about yourself. There's a lot of people who are like that around, walk around, oh man, bring it on, okay? Or you feel like you're not worth anything, okay? It's almost one or the other. And even the one that has an overinflated opinion about themselves oftentimes really feels inferior. And you got to see that as a dad instead of coming down on them and beating that overinflated ego down, you spend some time and say, hey, son, there's some things you need to look at realistically. How about some open communication, men, fathers? Sometime having breakfast, some things really came out at breakfast time with me and my children, and I wish I would have done a lot more of it. I really do. And we start becoming aware of our sexuality. And I brought some material along, and I put them up here on the front row, and I'll hold some of them up as we go along here. But so much heartache is preventable. And you know, I was talking to a brother this morning. I said, you know, we're on the front lines of prevention here. This is what I believe. This is why I get up in the morning and go, yes, encouragement is important. Let's do it. It's why we're going to plan again for another year, Lord willing. Okay? And you know, we want your input. We want you to suggest, hey, how about if we would look at this and this? So feel free to give input to any of the committee, because we will sit down, we will talk. We'll talk about what the topics are for next year. Encourage Young Men is going to be starting soon, and it's on the journey. Search for life. It's a powerful, powerful teaching. Okay. Curtis is on the committee there, and there's a couple other men there, young men, and they are, I'm excited about their passion. And so, you know, if you're young men, it's an opportunity for you to bring your teens, bring your young men, fathers and sons coming together and listening to things. Search for Life talks about the very foundations of what makes life work. It's coming up. It's going to be happening. Very important. You know, sexuality gets awakened way before its time. And let's just talk about it. All boys do not become men, nor do all girls become women. We end up with lots of boys and girls in adult bodies, and they don't make wise decisions. They really don't. So we want to talk about protecting, providing, preparing. And I got to watch the time. I've really just sort of meandered around a bit. But it's important. Look what, three times in the scriptures it says, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. This is Jesus' words. Do you think he takes seriously what happens to children? Very, very much. So we should too. And I did want to mention before we got into the lesson, I want to just acknowledge, thank you to all those who are calling in and listening, and even having small groups later on. This is happening. Encouragement is really reaching out there pretty far. And here's another thing. I was at the store the other day, and she probably is listening in this morning, but a gal came up to me. She goes, are you Jason Reed? I said, yeah. And I didn't know where that was going. And she said, well, my husband's in coming to encourage men. And he's a different man. Do you think that makes you want to get up in the morning? Come on, guys. Wow. Okay. So to all you gals out there, Welcome. Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. So we want to protect them from abuse. You know, here's some statistics, and some of the questionnaires that I've handed out on sexual abuse, it shows 1 in 4, but I put 1 in 5 there because it's an approximate. 1 in 5 girls experience sexual abuse before they're an adult. That's pretty high, isn't it? You know, it's so sad. I think you hear me repeat things, but the Anabaptist Awareness for Sexual Abuse occurred a couple weeks ago, and it's a tragedy that we even have to have a meeting like that. Isn't it? Isn't that a tragedy? We shouldn't even have to have meetings like that. But 1 in 8 boys experience sexual abuse. Almost always from somebody they knew. A very, very high percentage. It comes from, generally it'll come from siblings, relatives, cousins, uncles, aunts, grandpas. I even heard of grandmas. Okay, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's almost always from somebody they knew. So what you have to do is you need to make sure that you're protecting your children even from your own family. Okay? Even from your own family. From curious experimentation. You know, every child is curious. Childhood curiosity is normal. It's normal. Children are curious about why the opposite sex is made different than they are. And they're going to find out. If they ask you questions, if they ask mom questions, you, as parents, you need to be prepared for this, that you give them age-appropriate answers, truthful answers, but age-appropriate. Okay, you don't tell them all the details, but you must use wisdom and discernment to give age-appropriate answers to satisfy their curiosity. Because I can promise you, if you tell them, you shouldn't be asking those questions. I can promise you, you're going to drive that curiosity deeper, and guess what? They're going to find the answers, I can promise you. And they'll find it through experimentation. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, curiosity and curious experimentation will lead to sexual abuse, and it grows, it develops into that. Okay, but what if? Okay. My dad came across me and another young girl at church playing doctor. And my dad handled it pretty wisely. Okay, didn't crush me, didn't spank me. He talked to me. He handled it wisely. Okay, if you punish childish curiosity, you're going to drive it deeper. You're going to cause more trouble. Can you hear me? Can you hear me a little bit? Okay, be careful. Be careful how you handle those things. As it gets older, yeah, then you put some, and even then, there needs to be some boundaries put in place, but you give age-appropriate answers so that they're satisfied, so it doesn't keep on going down that path. Okay. My body is private. I brought some books along. This is a book that's out of print, but I still end up finding it. I end up finding it online. When I find them, I buy them. Okay, it's not even a Christian book. Years and years ago, this was handed out. Produced for sort of public education, but I found it to be one of the better books. And I won't take the time to read some of it, but it really talks about what's okay and what's not okay. There's a book produced by the Weaverland Conference Group. It's free. You can pick them up at Home Messenger. I know at Myerstown, they're right inside the door. When you go in the door, the main entrance, it's right there. There's a rack. It's free literature. It's called Good Touch, Bad Touch. Okay. Here's one that says, I Said No. Okay, we need to find some resources that we can read to our children at a very early age. I recommend starting at 2, 2.5, 3. You do not want to put paranoia in your children. You don't want to put fear and paranoia there, but you want to give them tools. And I can promise you, you must tell them, because if somebody, I don't care if it's a relative or whoever, I just talked to somebody recently that they said that the person who was abusing them said, if you tell, I will kill your mother. And her mother was her hero. So guess what? She didn't tell. You got to tell your children that if somebody is doing something out of place and touching or speaking or communicating in ways that make you feel uncomfortable, you must come and tell Dad and Mom. And it's got to be safe. They can tell you anything. And listen, don't just believe it's a made-up story. Even if it is a made-up story, you better find out instead of just thinking it's not. I've heard too many stories like that. They just say, oh, they're just got a wild imagination. No, there's something happening. Yesterday afternoon, more toward evening, I sat and listened to a huge amount of hurt and pain, which produced self-hatred. Okay? This is sobering. But my body is private, says it tells what's good touch, what's bad touch. That the only time it's okay for other people to touch private areas is your parents or maybe a doctor with your parents' permission. Okay, it handles it really, really wisely. And I think it's so important. Here's another book. It says, God made all of me. Okay, God made all of me. It's another book that could be another resource. Here's another book. It's Before I Was Born. Before I Was Born. This is a series. It's a God's Design for Sex series. And this is book 2, ages 5 to 8. There's a book 1. There's a book 3 and 4 and 5. Okay? I think it's a pretty awesome series. I really do. I'm just trying to tell you, there are resources out there. I'm going to leave them up here afterwards if you want to come up and look at them and maybe write some things down. As your children get older, here's an awesome book called The Princess and the Kiss. There's another one that's very similar. It's called The Garden Wall, both by the same author. And it just talks about the value of purity, the value of tending your garden well. And what does that mean? So these are resources. But it's important that we prepare our children. We give them the tools to protect themselves. Protect your children from porn. And I had a book, and I probably gave it away. It's Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. Okay, I thought I had it in my resources. I couldn't find it. But Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. It's preparing your children for their first exposure to pornography. And it's not if, it's when. Okay? It's not if, it's when. Is there anybody here that was never exposed to porn? Right there's a man. There's another one. We got two. We have two. Three. Okay? Three. Thank God for that. Okay? Praise God for that. But do you see the small percentage? Do you see the hugely small percentage? Okay? But why shouldn't it be your children who weren't exposed to it? But it's prepare them for it. Tell them that when they see it, when they're exposed to it, to hate it. And that's what that book does. Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. It teaches them to hate porn. And you got to hate it. You got to hate it with a passion because it's going to eat your lunch. Yeah. The average age of porn exposure is age 11. And this is old. This is old documents. My guess is it's probably down about 8 and 9 now because of the internet and because of people. You know, it's amazing the children I see having smartphones. Crazy. Okay? Doesn't work. You know, and I'm even seeing it in our own people. I'm starting to see very young people. I'm seeing 15 and 16 year olds with smartphones, and it's probably lower than that. It should not happen. I remember listening to, and I can't remember his name right now, but he was part of Facebook, and he said, I won't let my children have that. Blank, blank stuff. They won't have a smartphone. And he's the one that helped produce the crap. He says they don't need that stuff. He said it'll destroy them. Wow. Pretty smart. Maybe smarter than some of us. Means if the average age is so young, it means half of, that's average. Half is younger than that, right? Yeah. Forget these. I'm going to bounce through it. No, I won't. I'll talk about it. You can't read it anyway. But what's up there is Leviticus. Leviticus, let's see, it's 18, 6 through 19. Just tell you a little bit, because in there, all the way down through there, it says, don't uncover the nakedness of this person. Don't uncover the nakedness of this person. It just goes down through and don't uncover the nakedness. If you read a more modern version, it says, you shall not have sexual relationships with. You shall not have sexual relationships with. Isn't it interesting in the old language it says uncover the nakedness? I think that's pretty fascinating, don't you? That tells us that God values and says there's parts of you that are private and shouldn't be exposed. Do you hear that? God's serious about porn. He even told them to be careful when they and how they should when they walk up the steps of the altar so that they wouldn't be that the men would not expose themselves. You see, this is crucially important to God. All right. Okay, providing security, unconditionally love their mother. Listen, I know relationships are very difficult, but you know, this week I heard the results of moms and dads who didn't love each other and care for each other, and you know what? The children suffer because there's no security. Well, they said I read somewhere one of the greatest fears of a fifth grader is, will my parents stay together? And I'm just telling you, I hear all the horror stories of relationships within the Anabaptist circles. And I'm not so sure that there aren't some of those fears in our own people. And you know, for the most part, they stay together. But I have watched Anabaptist couples split up. Okay, model and teach standing alone. I'm going to go back to that because you see, so interesting. I told you about that text I got. And how she says, I treated my husband so badly because I was placing my dad upon him. And I was treating him like how I hated my dad because of what he did to me. You see, I'm just telling you, our wives carry baggage. So do we. What do? We love them unconditionally. Doesn't mean we don't need to put some things in place that help them. I'm just telling you, it's not an easy journey. But what if we raise our daughters so that they aren't abused and so that they will be prepared to have a great relationship with their husbands because dads and moms prepared them for it? Model and teach standing alone. So important. You know, peer pressure is huge. Peer pressure is huge. They want to do what their friends are doing. That was something that I think my dad did a fairly good job of teaching, and my brother Frank got it a little bit better than I did. I succumbed to a lot of peer pressure. Frank, we were taught to stand alone. We were different than the rest, and we went to public school, but we had to be different than the others at public school in some pretty big ways. Some pretty big ways. And sometimes it was embarrassing. Okay, and then we had a struggle, but it taught us to stand alone. And even today, I got to thinking about that. You hear me speak pretty directly. You hear me speak pretty plainly. I share my own dirty wash with you. Why? I just decided, you know, we got to start talking about this stuff. We must talk about it. If we don't talk about it, it's not going to change. But we have to talk about it in a healthy, redemptive way. A healthy, redemptive way. Not gossip about it and tearing everything down because there's, you know, the whole system's garbage and everything else. No, no, no. I believe so strongly that we have such a strong, vital, healthy foundation in our Anabaptist culture, but we have messed it up in many ways. So let's go back and look at that and redeem it instead of throwing it away. Providing. Okay, once again, my son, if sinners entice you, don't give in to them. This is peer pressure. If they say, come along with us, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. See, he's teaching his son, don't do what everybody else is doing. Stand for what's right. Defend the weak. Don't let bullies get away with it. Don't get involved with the crap and the garbage. It will destroy your future. It'll damage you. Preparing, understanding changes. We already talked about some of this, and this is where some of these books, this whole series, Before I Was Born, and then walks up through the ages of growing up. God made all of me. It helps children see that their bodies were designed by God with a plan and a purpose, and it wasn't an accident. It was healthy. It was with God's wisdom, his beauty, his perfection comes out in the way he created us. But the enemy wants to destroy that. He wants to destroy God's image, and he made us in his image. He doesn't want our children to be healthy. He doesn't want you to be healthy. And when the more you move toward health, the more you are defeating the enemy. And the more you teach your children how to stand strong and stand alone. But understand changes. Hear it early. That's why we want to start early. You see, if you wait, as Burnell was teaching last week, if you wait till your children are 11, 12 years old before you start talking to them, it's awkward. It's awkward anyway. Okay? But sometimes you're going to have some of those awkward talks. So what if it's a bit awkward? I'm just telling you, I remember Burnell saying how his children have communicated to him how important, how vital those experiences were. And I heard that from other men who have used Passport to Purity too. Hear it early. And you see, if you start reading stuff like this and this to your children at an early age when they're small, you see, you're already talking to them about serious things, and it will not be so awkward as they get older. You see, it's a continual journey. And then instead of all of a sudden waiting until they're 12 and then you hit this big awkward thing, or waiting until they're 14 and your children are going to say, I don't want to talk to you about that. Okay. You got to capture their hearts and keep the connection there if at all possible. And you know, here's what I want you to hear. I'm talking about all this and I go, oh man, my children are too late. I really blew it. No, it's not too late. Go back to your children and say, hey, let's go out for breakfast. Can you forgive me for not being there for you? Can you forgive me for all the things that I didn't teach you when I should have taught you? Can you forgive me for that? I didn't prepare you like I should have, and I wish I could go back and undo it. I can't, but let's move on from here. And I want you to be a godly man, godly woman. We can do that. We can do that. Hear it appropriately, age appropriate. Okay? Hear it accurately. Tell your children the truth about things. Okay? People sometimes, if you're raised on a farm, children are exposed to animals breeding. It's okay to talk to them about reproduction and that process and how it can transfer, but God has a different plan for man and woman than just animals, and it's very, very different. You can talk with truth and wisdom about these things. Hear it progressively. Once again, age appropriate. Hear it from dad and mom. Man, if only the next generation can hear it from dad and mom, it will change the future. Can you please, please, please? Okay, we're not going to spend much time on that. Passport to Purity. This was the theme of the last 2 years when we did Valiant Man, and it's you know what instructions we gave you. 1 Thessalonians 4:2-4. By the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will. Do you hear that? It is God's will that you should be sanctified. That means pure. That you should avoid sexual immorality. He didn't say avoid sex. God says it was very good. He created it that way. He says avoid sexual immorality. That's why as parents, grandparents, we need to prepare our children to walk in purity. That each of you should learn how to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. That's God's plan right there. Wow. Instill a vision for manhood and womanhood. You're working on your manhood plan, wrapping it up. We haven't spent as much time focusing on that, but you can work on that. You can look at it, and you can understand that God has a plan walking through that. Hopefully, till another year, I think what we're going to be doing is hitting some of the topics that we didn't hit this year in your book, so that book perhaps will be what we will carry through to next year. We'll hit the ones we didn't hit, but then we will also probably add some other things to it, just like we did this year. But instill a vision for manhood and womanhood. Okay, it's repetitive, caring communication that needs to come from parents to children. God has a plan. He has designed you to become a man. He's designed you to become a woman. You know, I encourage mothers, don't moan and groan when you're having your period. Don't always talk about it. That's a miserable thing, because if you do, your daughters aren't going to embrace that. When you tell your, you know, you women who are listening in, but you talk to your wives about it, that as your daughters are hitting that age, they need to know that they're going to start spotting, that they're going to start menstruating. And then they need, and I tell mothers, tell your daughter to come to you as soon as they recognize that. In fact, you prepare for it ahead of time. They need to go and buy some personal hygiene items at the store. They need to be prepared for it. And you put together a little kit, and it's already, they're already prepared for it. And say, listen, when it happens, you tell mom, we are going to go out and we are going to celebrate. take them out to a nice restaurant and celebrate their becoming a woman. God's plan, exciting. God's preparing you for motherhood in the future. Oh, come on. Let's make this, let's celebrate God's plan instead of making it a curse. How about it? He has a purpose. He has a reason. It's to become a strong man, a strong woman with purpose. Teach your young men to, well, I think I have it in here, boys, teach your young boys to be a protector. Talk to them about God's wanting them to be a provider, to be a leader, to be the head of a home. Okay. All women are safe in their presence. All boys are safe in their presence. The only people, I tried to teach my son, and my children are adopted. I don't think about that. They're just my children. But my son's not built like me. He got different genes. But, you know, we used to wrestle, and then I got to the place where I realized this isn't working really, very well anymore. Okay. But I told him, I said, you know, every person must be safe in your presence except bullies. And I know he had come home and told me about a bully at school. I said, don't let him get away with it. And I said, you know what? You don't have to go and tell the teacher. Just get in between and say, no, you're not going to do this. Teach your young men to stand and for something that's right. Okay? It's okay to fight. Huh. Really? Is that right? Did I say that? We got to fight for holiness. Put on the whole armor of God and stand and fight. Fight for holiness. Fight for right. Okay. Be a protector. All women are always safe. Men, you must be the undisputed gentle head of your home. And I love this. This came from Frank years ago. He says, only strong men can afford to be gentle. What do you think of that? Father, thank you for precious time this morning. Would you bless the men as they go to small group, and Father, would you bless them as we listen, would you help us to take seriously that when we get home and interact with our children, it's awkward. We're not sure how to move forward, but help us to put together a plan, to look for resources. Thank you, Father. Thank you for time together as men this morning. Would you bless their day? Would you bless our day as we move on? You know what the day holds for us, but we also know that we have a purpose and a plan to fulfill, and that's to be strong, gentle men at work, at home, at church, wherever we are, to be strong, gentle men of integrity. Thank you, Father. Would you bless these men with your Holy Spirit's direction and leading in Jesus' name? Amen.